from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Demetrius Johnson is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You can relive all of his record-breaking title defenses by subscribing to UFC Fight Pass, and you can catch Mighty Mouse streaming your favorite video games live on Twitch. When he's not fighting, he's playing video games. And he's going to be in here next. But what we're going to do is play buzzwords with Demetrius Johnson. So we have three words and one phrase that we're going to try to get him to say out loud during our interview, during natural conversation. The words are butter, flaccid, spaghetti, and when it rains, it pours. Mm. Now, we're all in competition with one another, all right? This is a point system. Whoever has the most points at the end of the interview wins, okay? We're taking the interview seriously.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's been on the show many times, so it's buzzwords with Demetrius Johnson.
And he has no idea that we're trying to get him to say anything. He doesn't know anything about this. He's not hearing this now.
He has no idea. He's out in the hall. He can't hear what we're doing right now. Okay. So, yeah, we're gonna get him in here. Again, it's butter, flaccid spaghetti, and when it rains, it pours. So let's get him in here. There he is.
Demetrius. You're my
DJ.
Mate. Oh, he's brought the belt. Hey. I love him. Oh, you bring the belt.
Well, she told me to walk all the way around. And I was like, that's a long walk.
That's a long walk.
No, right by me.
Good to see you, man. Congratulations.
Champ.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to put this right here.
Okay.
Don't want to ruin, you know, your Maggie Simpson
All the candy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that shine. It's like gold. Is that like a dairy product? It looks like
No, that's 24 karat gold, my friend.
Oh, is it?
My boy Josh has had it polished where we came over here. So,
You know, if I were you, I'd go to a tailor and I'd get belt loops that would fit that thing. And I would wear that every single day.
That's
you know, it's funny. My father-in-law goes, I can't believe they have not got a belt that fits you. Every single time Dan puts that belt around you, every single time a thing falls off, I was like, I know, dude. It's not like I just got here. I've been here for 5 years and he hasn't got a belt that's a waist size 28.
Yeah, a hole puncher. Go to some more. Get some more loops in that or whatever. Congratulations, yeah, breaking Anderson Silva's record with 11 straight title defenses. And it's getting to the point to where, I mean, are you just fighting Ray Borg? And everyone was thinking, okay, this is going to be one of the toughest. And he is a very tough guy.
Very tough.
But you just mopped him, destroyed him. So at some point, are you thinking, I got to go to a different weight class? I got to do something else because I'm just too good.
No, not at all. I mean, I've worked my whole entire career to get to this point where I am not taking any damage. You know, me, my buddy, we're back there talking about fighters who've gone and they fight and they get in these wars and next thing you know they're slowing their words and they got concussions, they got to rely on CBD oil. I'm not about that life, and I was very point blank about it after the fight. You know, obviously, I think a super fight is down the line, obviously for the right money. You know, the fans want something from me, and I want something from the UFC. And when the time comes, we'll cross that bridge and make it right. But you know, I put myself in this position where I have the leverage to do what I want. Like,
what is your weight class for people who don't know?
125.
Okay, so could you fight at 135? Is there a 135 for guys?
There is 135, but those guys are they're bigger. So it's essentially find a bigger man who hit harder. They're just longer.
You just put a little weight on. Eat some carbs.
Well, you know, I've been eating
big
carbs.
Big plate of pasta.
I've been eating plate of pasta. I've been eating everything. I've been drinking.
What's your favorite pasta?
Favorite pasta is probably linguine with just red sauce. Just basic. I like basic.
Yeah, okay.
But I woke up this morning weighing 137 pounds. So it's literally a 2-pound weight cut. And I've been eating whatever I want last past week. I've had Chick-fil-A. I've had every type of fast food you could think of the last past week. So
you would never
do
be
you
able
fatten
to
things up even on top of the fattening. You know, so like you'll get a Whopper and then you'll put mayonnaise on top of it.
I do Chipotle mayonnaise. Chipotle mayonnaise.
Chipotle mayonnaise.
And a milkshake to go along with it with the cherry on top. So I'm eating whatever I want, and I still have not been able to gain back my weight because this last fight camp, I went for 12 weeks
what
dieting.
What a problem to have.
Yeah, I know, right? We get you on the Mighty Diet if you want. I think you look great, by the way.
Well, thanks.
If you have a size 28 waist and you're skinny, you're great. Do you have to eat, like, raw toast? Can you?
I eat whatever I want.
Really? What do you put on toast?
Jelly and butter. Dairy.
All right.
Yeah. So,
you're not so weight conscious you could never splurge. After you win, you have a celebration meal, and let's go to an Italian restaurant. Everyone, come on, let's get...
Yeah, I think that's pretty much for everybody, but I can eat like that throughout camp. And like I said, like, you know, I was supposed to fight Ray Borg in Canada, and then I was in the midst of my weight cut, got down 133 pounds. I walk around about 144, 143, And then the next time I get a phone call saying, hey, the fight's got, he's sick, we got to push it further. So I went back into camp another 4 weeks. Oh, then God. I finished cutting the weight cut. And then when I try to blow back up, my weight's just not come back
on. So when we see you, okay, on the day of the weigh-ins, which is usually like a Friday, you know, and you're all there and you're just so gaunt and thin. But then the next night when I'm watching and these Demetrius, these big guys come out. I mean, massive men. And they're like, and here he is, 145. And I'm going, I weigh more than that big, burly, manly man. That's what boggles the mind. In one day, you're saying, they're like, he's not coming out at 145.
No, he's not coming. Yeah, like when I fought that night, I weighed more than I did now. I weighed 139 pounds. So okay. I'm like 2 pounds still lighter. So we basically just rehydrate, you know, fill our muscles with the carbs, the glycogen.
Okay.
Rehydrate back up. And then the muscles, you know, they have nutrition, so that's why we look all
bigger. Yeah, we used to do that after football. We had football on Friday nights, and then so the whole team, we had practice, we'd go after school, and we'd go down to, you know, a spaghetti restaurant or something like that, and just load up on carbs. Is there something that you eat that your carb load? Is it?
Yeah, for me, I try to get away from just the pasta, because we call it the poor man pasta. It's like one of the...
Well, we were
like,
high school students.
Well, yeah, sure.
We're not rich man's linguine and Alfredo sauce over here.
No. So now I try to get with the brown rice. I try to eat more of a
like
whole
the good,
food.
The good carbs.
Like the broccoli, brown rice, sweet potatoes.
You're not sitting with your hand in goldfish crackers.
No. And then after I rehydrate with, you know, good water, coconut water, and then eat those good carbs, then I'll go to the poor man's carb and have some more pasta. I just load up and then put all the weight back on. But then once I get out of the fight, you know, my weight cuts back off. You know, you lose a lot of muscle. I lost a lot of muscle this time throughout all my weight cuts because I went so long. So it's going to take me longer to put back on the size to where I was 145. Then I'll cut 10 pounds to fight at 135. So I have a little more size going up against a guy who's bigger. You know, like the only advantage the guy has on me is that he's bigger and he's longer, which is a great advantage because I have to recalculate the distance. I have to recalculate my footwork. There's a lot more things that come into play to when I fight a guy who's my size, whereas like I can deal with this a lot easier than fighting a bigger dude.
Demetrius Johnson hanging out with us, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And now that, you got to be getting offers from other stuff. I mean, I know you're doing the video game stuff on Twitch. But as far as, like, you know, other offers coming in now because of, you know, who you are and what you've accomplished in the sport, it seems like once you get to that level, then you got to get calls coming in from everywhere
to
do stuff.
I'm not getting the calls coming in everywhere. You know, that's what first-round manager Malky and Abe, they're doing a good job with that stuff. But, you know, I got...
What have you turned down? I mean, are you getting offers? I mean...
No, I got an offer to do a show that was going to take 8 hours to film, you know, and I was like, you know what? I'm not...
That's like a regular work day.
Well, you know what? I'm not...
8 hours. Like, I can't work 8 hours. This is ridiculous. Come on.
I do 3-5 minutes. No,
yeah. I do 35 minutes. I mean, nothing really big, like, where it's, like, life-changing, you know, like an acting gig or anything like that.
Do you want to be an actor?
Well, I mean, it depends what I'm doing with acting. You know, like, I'm a big fan of the Marvel movies and, like,
behind Ronda Rousey, you know, kind of went on and did it.
I did a couple of things, like, with the, what's that show? I forgot what it's called.
Avengers.
Entourage. She didn't do Avengers. She wanted to do Captain Marvel, but
Expendables?
Expendables, yeah. Right. Action movies, that'd be fun to do something like that.
Yeah.
But I would never do something that I don't enjoy, you know, unless the money's just outrageous and I was like, fine, I'll do it. I'll do it. But, you know, for me, I mean, just act would be fun. But right now, I'm doing TwitchCon next week and I got 2 gigs out there. I'm doing my first casting call on H1Z1 Daybreak. I'm very much looking forward to that.
So people watch you play video games?
People watch me play video games.
It's
different. You know, they play with me all, and it's almost interacting. You know what I mean? Like
headset,
the whole thing. But like with the UFC, the only time people get to see me in mixed martial arts is when I'm fighting UFC or they come to the gym and watch me train. But then if you want to get to know me a little bit better, obviously, you can join this show and listen in, or you can come to Twitch and, like, talk to me, ask me questions, get honest opinions.
Do you ever get little 12-year-olds, like, talking major crap with you?
Oh,
yeah. You're 12. What are you doing?
And then the best part is that you get, like, the fantasy they know everything, and then I'm like, dude, shut up. Just, like, always use the word Danny Castillo. He goes, enjoy going back to work, going to work on Monday 9 to 5. Boo me, boo yourself. So, I mean, you get a whole bunch of stuff, but Twitch, I love it.
What's the game right now you're playing?
The game right now is... PUBG, Player Unknown. I have another competition. I just did a competition. Didn't do too well there. I'm not going to talk about it. And then we have Daybreak, H1Z1. I have a competition next Saturday for that, and then I'm gonna play South Park: The Fractured Butthole tomorrow when it comes out.
What? So, what? What's that?
It's called The Fractured Butthole.
Game's Fractured Butthole, or is that your call or your gamer tag?
That's not my gamer tag. No. It's a game that just came out.
Fractured Butthole. Yeah, right. Johnson. No, it's not.
It's the game that came out by South Park. So I'm playing that. Play it tomorrow. My butthole is not fractured. It works totally fine.
Slightly fissured after so much weight cutting, but not fractured.
Making sure.
You know what? You'd be
fractured butthole.
Fractured.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is it?
Fractured butthole.
Oh, I say? The
fractured butthole.
Fractured butthole. Oh. Like what? Oh, okay.
You know that's what they're getting at. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what they're getting at.
I get it. It's all the way you read, Steph. The way you read it.
I think you'd be great doing sports play-by-play. For example, the Olympics come up. I know you throttled that Olympic gold medalist last year in Vegas.
Yeah.
You'd be great doing coverage, say, at the Olympics, for example, for boxing. When the Olympics is at Lake
Placid.
Is that it? Is it Lake Placid?
I don't know.
Lake Placid, that was a crocodile movie.
Oh, okay.
With Betty White. I think she was in that.
Oh, I thought so. With F, I'm sorry.
But no, I agree with you.
We
call it esports on-air commentating. And it's very hard because there's one guy who's just like, oh, and there he goes. He's using an AK-47, taking shots. Oh, and then he goes around and he makes the thing. He's pushing. He gets out.
Really?
There's a guy who does that. And then there's a color commentator who plays the game where he's like, we just don't know what he's doing. I mean, the gas is coming in. He'll be fooled if he not does take that dossier and get himself to the safe zone. And that's the more I want to get to, is where I'm giving a little more color commentating to where I've actually played the game, and I'm not just that monotone where it's like, and here he goes.
Yeah.
He's opening a bag of chips. He's taking a sip of that red.
Yeah, that's not you.
That's not me.
It's like Tony Romo, NFL. He's doing some really good color commentary.
Exactly.
The game.
I want to do the color commentary. I mean, I could do it with the UFC, but I like to be honest. Where they're like, oh, you know, you got a guy in here, like, say this guy's explosive. Like, he's not explosive. Like, he needs to work on this.
You have guys telling the fighters what to say ears?
Well, just like, they came out in a commentator where they're like, don't bring up about that staph infection. If I was me, I was like, holy crap, dude, this guy had a staph infection. Makes sense. It makes sense why the weight cut's so brutal.
That's interesting to us when we're watching that. Now I'm watching a completely different
thing. I think it was the last fight.
The last Kevin Lee. Yeah, I didn't know he had
his chest.
Yeah, I didn't know he had a staph infection. I sat right next to him. I actually took the lettuce off his chest, and I didn't eat it, but I was putting it in his mouth. Weird story. Don't worry about it. But the UFC company was like, we don't want you guys to bring up anything about that staph infection. I'm like, I want to. And they're like, because that could play a part into how the fight played out. If he gassed, you know, Tony Ferguson's an absolute beast. But, you know, that I want to know that. I want to be able to say that. And I don't want to have somebody restrict me from saying what I want to say. You know, UFC, they were like, hey, we want to get you at, you know, UFC tonight. Just a company. I was like, I'll pass. They're like, why? And I was like, don't like doing live TV unless it's me doing it on my Twitch channel, because I have nobody in my ear laying, you can't say that. I'm like, see what the hell.
I think you're at the point, though, in your career where you could actually fight and commentate the fight that you're in. You're that good. You're telling everybody what you're doing while you're doing it.
I don't know if that'll work out well, because if I get beat up, then I'd be so upset. I'll come back here and be like, you said this would be a good idea.
I'm about to go from suplex to armbar submission. Well, you just did that.
Yeah,
that is nuts.
Well, you did that suplex armbar. Like you say in this last victory, that you had that said that's something I like out of a video game.
And yeah.
I mean, that's not something that you learned or trained for, that particular move. Or had you said, you know what, I'm going to try this in the air transition to an armbar from a suplex?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time.
Really?
Like, I've been doing it a long time. Like, my coach, when I was an amateur, I did a Superman punch to a low kick, like GSP style. And I tried it in a fight, and we always go over and watch my fights as amateur. And he goes, you see that? He goes, that guy has your timing. He goes, don't do that again, because he could have caught you with a left hook and knock you out.
Oh.
And he goes, you know, you in the gym, you try things, and then when you master it, then you bring in an octagon. And I've been doing that submission for, oh, man, probably 3 years, just in the gym, training. And when I'm sparring in the gym, my goal is to submit my opponents as many times as I can so I can octagon and do it. So the fight was going well. I was feeling good, and I think I made my point in that fight that I can out-scramble him. Because if somebody, the whole entire time in the fight, if he would have never said anything to me, never said anything, because in the weigh-ins, he goes, you've been a great champion. And I was like, oh, you want to go this route? And I would continue to be a great champion. And I started yapping, and I was like, He goes, oh, I'm going to take this belt. I was like, ask, how's your teammate Dotson doing? Ask how that worked out with Dotson. He goes, I'm not Dotson. I was like, that's a problem because you got to have something to bring to the table to, you know, speed, agility. And he has those things. But Dotson was, you know, he hit that one punch knockout. And then when he said that, he pissed me off. And I was like, okay, you think you're out scrambling? So the whole point of the fight, I was like, go ahead, scramble. So I can show you, you're not going to beat me there. Then once I made my point, then I was like, I have energy left. I guess I'll just try.
Yeah, you had energy. He looked like, yeah, he was worn out a bit. And at some point, do you ever, because some guys, you know, cocked off to you and said something that you were like, I could win right now, but I'm not going to win right now because I want to punish
like a cat
you.
With a
yeah,
mouse, you're
I'm just
like,
going
nah.
to, you know, I'm just going to rain down on you, and this is going to keep on raining.
I have to tenderize. You know? You have to tenderize the meat before you put it in the oven, or before you do a little salt on it. You have to tenderize it, right? Because when you don't, you know, you're not going to have a good meal. So with the fight, you know, he's very tough. Probably one of the toughest guys. I hit him with a lot of good shots. And about time when I had to the point, and there also comes a point where people know what you want from them, right? Like, everybody knows I want to go for the armbar. Everybody knows I want the Khmer. And I'm working. I could feel it. Like, he knew he would defend that. Then you have to throw something else out there. You have to be creative in mixed martial arts. And I think a lot of people have lost that essence of mixed martial arts. Be creative and get somewhere where nobody knew how you got there. So we worked that move so many times. I taught it. I didn't teach it yet, but...
And the Kimura is where they're... they basically choke themselves out.
No, the Kimura is where you...
Just go ahead and do it on Heidi.
Yeah, right? Here we go.
What's the one where you make the insurance plan here?
Yeah, where's your insurance plan here?
We have none. But what is the one where you basically make them choke themselves out? What
where
is
it
that?
Selves out? I mean, there's so many different ones. There's the triangle choke where it goes across their neck. Yeah. The triangle choke, you have the arm triangle. That's basically using their shoulder to... close out this artery, then use your own close out artery. So there's multiple ones, but for me, I like arm bars. They're just so, they make so much sense to me. It's very easy, and I'm just very efficient at it. So my coach, he can do it all, but he's like, you should be able to do them all. And I was like, I can. But,
have you ever been choked out?
In a fight or just in a gym?
Just to see what it's like.
To go to sleep.
I did it to myself one time where when I was a kid, you did hyperventilate and you go like that.
Yeah, that was always fun, yeah.
Yeah, I did that. And then other than that, I've never been like choked out on
But you never said like somebody in practice said, okay, when I get in this position, I know how much time I have based off when I'm going to go. I'm just going to go
tap.
Limp or
yeah,
whatever
I'll
you call
tap.
It. What do
I
you
tap.
Call it?
I call it comatose when you just... You know, you go out. Like,
where you're all stiff and then you're
stiff.
Just like.
Well, you gotta get knocked out that way. Huh? The only way you get stiff is when you get like.
I always love when guys.
But like,
go to
when
sleep.
You're getting choked out, you're probably like, you're trying to stiffen your neck up and everything. And then you're like, okay. And then at some point, you just go limp.
You
right?
go limp, yeah. I don't know what the. Everybody's time frame is different. I've done it to people before and I'm like, wake up! Wake up! You're fine. You're okay. So I didn't see him tap. But
so you've never gone limp like a strand of.
I've never been passed on. I've never been knocked out.
Do you have a high threshold for pain compared to the average person?
I would say so. I mean,
so where does your mind go that you can tune out the throttling you're getting? Most of us would be feeling it. Seems like you don't feel it. Where does your brain go?
It depends. Like. It just goes. You're in the competition, adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like I've been hit, and I'm like, that's all you got. I've been dropped before, and I'm like. Okay, I'm still here, baby. Let's go. There's just a self-conscious. Like,
you gotta
switch.
Like getting punched in the face every now and then. Too,
no,
right?
I don't like it at all. But
you kind of like.
He's so pretty.
Like literally, like I sit back and I watch fights, amateur fights. And I'm like, why do I do this? Like, why? Literally, I do it. But when I get in there, and I'm like. It's weird because when I train, like, I don't cross face. I don't put my hands in people's face. And then I went back and watched my fight. I'm, like, just shoving my hand in Borg's face, and I'm just separating. I'm just elbowing him. I'm fighting because I'm fighting for money. Literally, like, I'm basically cockfighting. I'm fighting for money.
Right.
Because if there was, like, hey, there's no money involved, I would not be fighting. I'm not that guy.
I'm
so,
no meat and toast and jelly.
Exactly. Pasta.
But it's almost like that savagery that comes out of me where it's like, okay, we're two half-naked men in here. Yeah. We're fighting for money, so I'm going to do everything I can so I get my money.
Is there guaranteed money in the UFC? I mean, now that you're, you know, the most, you know, 13 wins in a row. I mean, so it's like, okay, I got 13, so my 14th, I want a bonus for 14, a bonus for 15.
Well, it always bonus. Escalates.
It always,
always escalates, and it always goes back down. So, like, as a champion, when you're the champ, it's significantly high. But when you lose as a champion, It goes way
so
down.
It is. If you win, you get this much, and if you lose, you get this much. Well, that's your deal.
The next time you come back, you'll get this much. So if I, when I win, I'll get X, Y, and Z. Then if, since I won, I'll get an escalation.
Oh, okay.
Let's say I lose, it goes back down way far down the, the escalator.
But if you win,
it's
you
not get the... on the particular fight where it's like win money, lose money on this fight.
Some fighters have that. Okay. So like Ray Borg, he had a guarantee. I think it was it's all disclosed. Out there, he had 100 grand. I can't remember. So since he lost, he'll probably go back down to maybe 20 and 20.
Do they negotiate as far as like if you lose to a decision, then you get 80. If you get choked out, it's 50. If you get knocked out, you get 20.
There are some places like I know 1FC, they do like finishes bonus. So like let's say you're going to guarantee $100,000. Let's say you finish your opponent, then you're going to get extra like $50,000.
And then if you win fight of the night, isn't
that? You win fight of the night. Some, the UFC has that, fight of the night. That's an awesome thing. I mean, God bless you, soul. I appreciate you. Put my kids through college, hopefully, and I can retire one day. UFC does have that. So you can, you get your guarantee. And then if you go out there and pull off, a crazy thing or submission like that, then they're like, the performance tonight, Demetrius Johnson, how can we not give this man a bonus. Fighting at night, they also have that. So they have something that was bonus. So, but it's always, it goes up and
tiered.
Down. So it's always tiered. Like for me, that's why I always fight because I want that paycheck next time. Regardless, I'm getting another paycheck because I have a contract with them, but I want the higher end of the paycheck.
Rain.
Yeah, let's make it rain.
You hear horror stories all the time of athletes who get taken by unscrupulous, dishonest managers. You're a very smart guy. We all know that. How do you make sure you're not being being taken to the cleaners?
This is the first time I've ever gotten management. My whole entire career, I've never had a management up till this point, as you can say. And the person who was managing, doing all my contracts, was my coach that I've been with since day one. So
you trust him?
I trust him. Yeah. He's like a father figure to me, and he treats me like I'm his son, With that being said, there are athletes out there who get taken advantage of. So I always try to do my due diligence of reading, understanding, asking questions. And I think the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. I'm always about asking questions. And so far, everything's been going good for me.
So does your wife want you to quit?
No. She's happy. She's been with me since my second amateur fight.
Can she sit ringside, though?
Oh, yeah. She does all the time.
She was in there. She was like, look at the look on her face. She loves that guy. She really does. She was staring at you. She's like, oh, my God, look at
you. It would be so hard, though, to love somebody. You don't get hit in the face a whole lot. But, to watch somebody, where you have to sit there and
I've had my days.
But,
those days are over. Been super.
Does she try to get tough at home on you too? Does she ever throw you in a rear naked choke just by surprise?
When we play, she is actually strong. She's long, so you guys get leverage. But it's fun. She'll try, do something. I was like, oh, you're. The thing is, I just take her balance. I just move her legs. She goes, I can't, It's like, you look like a dog with socks on the hardwood floor. She's like, and I'm like, but I love it because it's like, I could take advantage of just her movement and her balance. And then she's like, I don't like this. And so, but she's strong. She's very strong.
You ever got to the point where you actually pissed her off where she's like, ew.
Just when I tickle her.
Oh, the tickle.
She's like, stop. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to tech you.
She's like,
stop.
You keep tickling me.
I'm like, punch me.
I'll be the first to knock you out.
Yeah. She was like, I'm going to deck you. I'm like, who says deck? What is that? Deck me?
You're married to like an old 50s style gangster.
Yeah.
I'll deck you, see?
Sweetheart.
Demetrius, congratulations on all your success, man. The most successful title defenses in UFC history at 11. Your last loss was in 2011.
So
and
fun
no,
to watch.
No plan on losing, and doesn't even look like you're ever going to lose in the future. So congratulations again. Cool. Thanks for coming in. Door's always open for you, my friend.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Be sure and follow him on Twitter @MightyMouseUFC. We got to check on traffic. What's going on, Lisa?